Craig will shortly be coming up to speak to us about the passage from God's Word, which I'm about to read. And our reading this morning comes from Genesis chapter 12 and starting at verse 10, finishing at verse 20. And this can be found on page 11 of the Church Bibles. So Genesis 12 and starting at verse 10. Now there was a famine in the land, so Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was severe in the land. When he was about to enter Egypt, he said to Sarai, his wife, "I know that you are a beautiful woman, beautiful in appearance, and when the Egyptians see you, they will say, 'This is his wife.' Then they will kill me, but they will let you live. Say you are my sister, that it may go well with me because of you, and that my life may be spared for your sake." When Abram entered Egypt, the Egyptians saw that the woman was very beautiful. And when the princes of Pharaoh saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And for her sake he dealt well with Abram, and he had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male servants, female servants, female donkeys, and camels. But the Lord afflicted Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. So Pharaoh called Abram and said, "What is this you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister, so that I took her for my wife? Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go." And Pharaoh gave men orders concerning him, and they sent him away with his wife and all that he had. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Sue. And do please keep that passage open in Genesis chapter 12. We're going to spend some time looking at that together now. Why don't we pray before we start? Great is your faithfulness, great is your faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, your hand has provided. Great is your faithfulness, Father, to me. Thank you, Father, that you are faithful to all your promises as we have sung this morning. Please help us now as we read of Abraham failing to trust your promises, that we would have a greater trust in your promises. And please help us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, last week we started a new series. If you weren't here, we started a new series looking at Abraham, or Abram as he's known at this stage of the story. He's a man who God chooses. Someone who worships idols, we hear elsewhere in the Bible. But God chooses him and calls him and make promises to him. He promises him four things we heard last week. He promises him a new land. Chapter 12, verse 1. Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And again in verse 7. Then the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So God has promised him land, and he promises him people to make him a great nation. Verse 2, I will make of you a great nation. Despite the fact that Sarai, or Sarah as we later hear her in the story, was barren, she had no children. God promises to Abraham to give him land. He promises to give him people, many descendants, to make him into a great nation. He promises to make his name great, verse 2 as well. We heard last week that that has a sense of rule, a sense of kings coming from Abraham. And lastly, he promises blessing. God promises to bless Abraham. He promises that Abraham will be a blessing. Verse 3, I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Well, today, I suppose, is the start of the story, really. We've seen Abraham trusting in God. He trusts in God's promises. He goes to the land. He sets out with his wife and his nephew, Lot, and all his possessions and all the people they'd acquired while they were in Haran, and they set to go to the land of Canaan. But as we reach verse 10 today, we see that there's a problem in the land that God had promised. There was a famine. What is Abraham going to do? God has made these promises to him. He's told him to go to this land, but there is no food. How are they going to survive? How are God's promises going to come true? Well, as far as we're told, Abraham doesn't ask God what he should do. He doesn't even, as far as we're told, think particularly of the promises that God has made to him. And so he takes things into his own hands. He heads off to Egypt to sojourn there, to stay there, for the famine was severe in the land. Now, as is often the case in Old Testament narrative, the narrator, in this case Moses, doesn't tell us clearly whether this was the right thing to do or the wrong thing to do. He doesn't make it explicit. But as we read through the passage, and as we think later about what happens in Genesis and in Exodus, I certainly find it very hard to come to the conclusion that this was the right thing to do. But whatever we think of that, we'll see that it gets worse from Abraham in what he does. Because verse 11, when he was about to enter Egypt, he said to Sarai, his wife. What is he going to say to Sarai, his wife? What is his plan? Well, we see that it's a dreadful plan. He says to her, I know that you are a woman beautiful in appearance. And when the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. Then they will kill me, but they will let you live. Well, what about God's promises? Has Abraham completely forgotten that God has promised to make him into a great nation? Has he completely forgotten that those who bless him, that bless him, God will bless, and those who dishonor him, God will curse? He seems to have forgotten completely that he can trust in God. And God's plans cannot possibly be for Abraham to be killed before he has had any children. How is he going to become a great nation if that is the case? But Abraham is full of fear. He doesn't trust God. He doesn't have faith in God. He fears that the Egyptians will see Sarah, see how beautiful she is, and that they will kill him so that Sarah can be a wife of one of the Egyptians. So what does Abraham do? Verse 13, say you are my sister. that it may go well with me because of you, and that my life may be spared for your sake. Now, again, at this stage, the narrator makes no comment about Abraham's plan. We have to see later in the story to see what God thinks of Abraham's plan. But we can see, and I'm sure with our eyes opened by the Me Too movement and many other things in recent years, we can see what a dreadful plan it is. And also, the Bible itself would speak very strongly against this plan. And in fact, the Lord does act strongly against it later in our passage. So let's continue on. Verse 14. On to our second scene of the story. So first scene, they head down to Egypt and Abraham makes his dreadful plan. Second scene, when Abraham enters Egypt, the Egyptians do indeed see what Abraham thought they would see. They see that Sarah, the woman, was very beautiful. When the princes of Pharaoh saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. Now, if we were being charitable to Abraham, we might say that his plan was to try and stall. If someone wanted to marry Sarah, he would stall and say, just wait a little longer. We see that sort of thing happening later on in Genesis, on a number of occasions in the stories of the patriarchs. But if that was his intention, if he was going to try and protect Sarah, even though he had rather put her in danger, it completely falls apart. Because who sees that that Sarah is beautiful? Well, it's the princes of Pharaoh, the king. They praise her to Pharaoh. And so the woman is taken into Pharaoh's house. Again, Moses doesn't tell us what that means. He doesn't spell it out. Perhaps because he is silent about it, it does mean what we fear. That Sarah is taken and his wife and all that entails. We don't know. We are not told. But we are told what happens to Abraham, remarkably, in verse 16. For Sarah's sake, he dealt well with Abraham. Pharaoh deals well with Abraham. So in a sense, it is just as Abraham had said back in verse 13. Say you are my sister, that it may go well with me because of you, and that my life may be spared for your sake. Abraham is being blessed here with material blessings. But at what a cost. For her sake, he dealt well with Abraham, verse 16, and he had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male servants, female donkeys, and camels. About everything you could want in the ancient world, Abraham receives from Pharaoh. So that is the second scene. First scene, we see that Abraham's dreadful plan. Second scene, we see Abraham's fears coming true to a certain extent. They see Sarah is beautiful and she is taken. Third scene, what does the Lord think of what has happened? Verse 17, the Lord afflicted Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abraham's wife. It's very clear what the Lord thinks of this, isn't it? The Lord afflicts Pharaoh with great plagues. He sends hardship on Pharaoh. He sends plagues on him, illnesses on him. The Lord is not pleased what has happened. The Lord cares about marital faithfulness. The Lord cares about Sarah. Even if Abraham is willing to put Sarai in danger, The Lord still cares about her and sees what is going on and acts. And we actually see what's happening in chapter 12, verse 3, coming true. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. Remarkably, it's not the blessing that Abraham receives in verse 16 that from Pharaoh that means Pharaoh is going to be blessed, but it is the dishonoring of Abraham and Sarah, more to the point, that sees a Pharaoh cursed. And so what does Pharaoh do? Pharaoh calls Abraham and says, "What is this that you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister so that I took her for my wife?" Abraham had these fears, didn't he? That people wouldn't act morally towards him and Sarai. That he would be killed, and that Sarai would be married off. But actually, we see in this story that the person who acts morally, the person who does what is right, the person who is concerned about marital faithfulness and about Sarai, is Pharaoh, and not Abraham, not the one that God has chosen and God has made promises to. In fact, there are more echoes here. Remarkably, we hear Pharaoh saying the same words that God had said back in Genesis chapter 3. "What is this you have done?" Or, "What is this you have done to me?" God says to Eve back in Genesis chapter 3, when Eve disobeys God, and Adam and Eve have disobeyed God and eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" It's almost as if Moses wants to emphasize how badly Abraham has behaved and how well Pharaoh has behaved, that we see the same words that God was using as being spoken by this pagan king. "What is this you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was wife? Why did you say she is my sister so that I took her for my wife? Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go." Now, how do you think Abraham felt at this point? His plan has been found out. It has failed. He feared that they would kill him. How is Pharaoh going to treat him now that, even worse, Abraham has misled Pharaoh, he has lied to him, he has caused plagues to be brought on Pharaoh? And instead of all the families of the earth being blessed through Abraham, as God promised in chapter 12, verse 3, we see Sarai being in Pharaoh's house, bringing plagues and curse on Pharaoh. Well, again, God protects Abraham and Sarai. Pharaoh does not act. He does not act in anger. He does not kill Abraham. He gives men orders concerning him. They send him away with his wife. Abraham is sent out of the land of Egypt. But more than that, Abraham is sent out with all that he had. The blessings that Abraham received while he was in Egypt, he keeps. So even though Abraham has behaved so badly, we still see God blessing him through Pharaoh. In fact, if we look on a couple of verses to chapter 13, verse 2, we see that Abraham was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. We'll be looking at that passage next week, so do come back then. But what do we make of this story as we've seen it? We've seen how badly Abraham acts. We've seen God's faithfulness. We've seen that God cares what happened to Sarai. We've seen that Pharaoh acts much more morally than Abraham did. Well, firstly, I think we see that God is faithful to his promises. God will not let his promises die out because of Abraham's faithlessness, because of his fear, because of his lack of trust in God. Now, it is easy for us, when things go wrong, to stop trusting in God too, isn't it? But we see again and again in the Bible, and we see again and again in the story of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob as we work through Genesis, we see again and again God's faithfulness to those he has made his promises. That song that we've learnt the last couple of weeks, every promise made is a promise kept. You are faithful to your promises. God's plans cannot be derailed. Secondly, we see a remarkable foreshadowing of what is going to happen to Israel later in the story of Genesis and Exodus. We're going to see another famine in the land. We're going to see the one that God had made the promises to go down to Egypt because there is no food. We are going to see a Pharaoh receiving plagues, not this time for taking another man's wife, but because he refused to listen to God and because he refused to let God's people go. We're going to see God's people leaving Egypt with plunder, becoming rich, having taken the things from their neighbors, and their neighbors becoming well disposed to them and giving them riches. And we're going to see God's people preserved in spite of great danger, in spite of apparently great threat to God's promises. And I wonder, as the Israelites read this, they were already thinking forward to how God had rescued them from Egypt and how God had kept his promises to Abraham. So we've seen that God remains faithful despite Abraham's sin. We see that a remarkable foreshadowing of the Exodus and Israel going to Egypt. And we do see a need for a greater man. We see that Abraham is not the person through whom directly all the families of the earth shall be blessed. That is one of the sad things about this story, is that in verse 3, God had promised, in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Yet, in this story, sadly we're seeing the Egyptians being cursed rather than blessed. That points us forward, I think, to a greater man we need. One who would always be faithful. One who would always trust in God, his Father. One who would never lie. It points us forward, of course, to the Lord Jesus, through whom ultimately all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Because Jesus, as Abraham's descendant, came, He died on a cross. There is even a faint echo in this passage, as we read it, of what Jesus will do, that he dies and that our lives are spared for his sake. Abraham can't possibly have been thinking of that when he said verse 13 to Sarai. But it's a faint echo, isn't it? But most of all, I think it shows us that we need a ruler. We need a savior. One who will bless the earth. Well, how can we apply this to ourselves? Let's keep trusting in God. Let's keep trusting in the Lord Jesus. Let's keep trusting in his rescue of us. Let's keep trusting in his rule. Let's keep trusting in all God's promises, which are yes, in Jesus Christ. Because God has also promised to bring us to a land. He has promised to bring us to the land where there will be no more crying, nor pain, or death. He has promised to bless all the families of the earth. We here, most of us today, I take it, are not a descendant of Abraham in flesh and blood, but spiritually we are, because we trust in Jesus. Let's trust in Jesus, our great ruler, this day and always. As we finish, why don't we pray together? Father, we thank you that you are faithful to your promises. We thank you that despite Abraham's sin, despite his lack of trust in you, you still worked out your plan, that it could not be stopped. Please help us to trust in you. May we grow in trust as we see Abraham growing in trust in the weeks ahead. Please help us when circumstances are hard and we find it difficult to trust. Help us when we fear to put our faith in you, knowing that you are faithful to all your promises. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.